Let me actually grab my book from over here.
Okay, Zoom. A novel. Ooh, that's a pretty cover.
Yeah, I like the
A
cover.
novella is between 15,000 and 40,000 words.
Well, how many damn pages is that?
Yeah, I know. What the frick?
Have you been having trouble sleeping?
I've definitely been having weird dreams.
I think that plays into it.
Why are you putting a spell on me?
No, I would never, unless I was going to put a spell on you to cure your sleep, and then I would. But I've been having a terrible time sleeping, and it seems like a lot of people I know are also having a terrible time sleeping. So I wanted to check in if you were also having a terrible time sleeping.
Well, here's the thing. I normally have a terrible time sleeping. So maybe it's just that our sleep cycles are getting different. So the fact that I'm like sleeping through the night is wild, but having weird dreams.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Are you guys gonna get the solar eclipse over there, or is that not?
We're having a total eclipse.
Yeah, because we're here, we're gonna have a partial, but it's like at like set almost 8 p.m. at night. So the sun will still be out because the sun sets super late here, but it's because the sun is setting and it's only partial, I don't think we're really gonna get it.
That's kind of wild.
But I heard that the solar eclipse is having weird effects on people.
Oh, I believe that.
And there's some planet, not Mercury. Mercury is in retrograde,
Ugh, of
course,
course it
but
is.
there's some other planet that's doing something weird too.
Can they stop?
Can they stop doing crazy shit? Also, speak of the damn devil with the crazy shit. My mom just texted me. There was just an earthquake here. Epicenter was in New Jersey. Jess texts earthquake. Bryn texts of 4.8 magnitude, it seems. And Lexi and Cassie text. Lexi, did you just feel that earthquake? Was that what that was? Yeah, bro, I thought my house was blowing up. Bro, that was wild. How the hell we got earthquakes here? Liza, you feel it over there? I said no. 4.8 aftershocks incoming. Did you feel it?
I don't feel nothing. Am I really that far that I don't feel that?
I guess so. But they felt it in New York City, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
What the
So,
hell?
yeah, why don't you get it?
How did the
Did
buildings not fall down there?
Well, that's the damn T. They're not structurally sound for
No, I
earthquakes.
could definitely see like half their buildings just beep. Also, do you know the shooting was at the shooting on the A train was in Hoyt?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Ew, we go there all the time.
I
That's our
know.
train to connect.
And exactly. And of course, there's so many cops in the subways, but where were they when somebody was getting absolutely murdered? And get this. They disabled the emergency exits to stop people from fare evading. So nobody was even able to get out of the damn station when they were running. They had to like hop and like get through the turnstiles because the emergency exit doors weren't opening. And on top of that, the people that were on the A, or maybe it was an A, maybe it was a G, I don't know what.
It was the A.
It was the A. But people that were on the A, who were on the platform where the shooting was happening, they weren't closing the doors. The subway doors were just wide open. So everybody was ducking and covering, and they were like screaming, like, close the doors, why aren't the doors closing? Isn't that
Yeah,
so
that's
scary?
terrifying. Yeah.
The world is so messed up. But yeah, that's our station. Formerly.
Like, why are you doing that to the exits?
It's so fucked up because not only is that really bad in case of an emergency, but also that's how people with strollers get out. That's how people in wheelchairs get out. on a daily basis. Even if you have a suitcase or like a big bag, that's how you get out. So it's like, it's ridiculous. All to save $2.90. Please. Like, let people just do whatever they want. It can't
Right,
be
when you have
costing.
so many people there, you're making so much money anyways. Who cares? And
Right,
where does that money
exactly.
go? Not to fix the subways.
Right. And now they've got like the National Guard posted up too. And I'm like, you're spending more money on fucking cops than you are saving by stopping teenagers from jumping over the turnstiles. Make it make sense.
The other. Also, like, honestly, our trains should literally just be free.
They
How
should
do you
just be
expect people
free.
to get to work? And if people don't go to work, then we don't have an economy.
Right. It should just be free. Or it should be like included in your taxes, like you pay this much money a month.
Did you hear the car alarms going off?
Yeah, was it the earthquake?
Yeah, my dad said that's why the car alarms were going off.
But you guys didn't feel it?
I didn't feel nothing. I was chilling.
The Belmonte household is just a, like, that's where everybody needs to go when there's an earthquake. Y'all ain't even feel
Kind of
it.
crazy. Me, I'm just chilling.
You said,
I'm like, God, everyone's car alarm's going off.
you think Peep was like, what the fuck?
P probably felt it. She felt it in her bones.
She probably knew it was coming. Or she caused it.
I believe that.
Don't let Peep look at the solar eclipse on Monday.
Oh, I'm keeping her locked up.
Because she'll look at it.
She will look at it. It'll bring her right home.
You just see her just ascending into the air.
Slowly going up.
Peep.
She's so
She's not
funny.
from here.
Also about the subways,
Yeah.
they're not disabled people friendly.
They're not disabled people friendly at all. It's
So
very
imagine
upsetting.
being in that and being like in a wheelchair and you're
No.
like in the middle of a shooting.
That's
How do
so
you get out
scary.
then? Especially
Exactly.
if that's the station that doesn't have an elevator in it, because most of them don't.
Right. No, it's so,
Terrible.
it's bad. It's really bad. Anyway, welcome to season six.
Oh yeah, damn, we're recording. Hey guys.
Hey, I'm Liza.
I'm Riss.
And this is the Little Sleep.
Much Reading Podcast.
And finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
Six seasons. 6 seasons. Oh my
6.5,
God.
actually, because we had the Aruba season too.
That's true. We're
So
crazy.
we're so insane. Somebody needs to stop us.
Yeah.
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 Back with a bang.
Yeah.
What did we do this week? What did we read?
This was like myth and fairy tale retellings. I read a skinny little book.
I also read a skinny little book. Also, we've kind of done this before, question mark. But not quite, right?
I think the episode where I read The Changeling was this. What did you read?
I can't remember, because I also read that book 40 by Alan Heathcock, which I think I maybe did for the retelling episode. Did we specifically call that one retellings, or
I feel like we did.
I have to go back and sometimes I have to go back on Instagram and see what we've even ever done with our life.
Too.
Hello, who is it? Yeah, fairy tale retellings. You did the changeling and I did 40.
Good for us.
So I guess this is just is this specifically mythology? Like, was yours specifically myth or is it still fairy tale?
Mine was definitely. Mine was still fairy tale, but it was like after the fairy tale.
After the fairy tale.
But what are those called?
I don't know, but I kind of like it. I guess
But
we'll find
also,
out.
there was like a smidgen of Frankenstein in here, which is kind of cool.
So what was yours, Marissa?
My book is The Salt Grows Heavy by Cassandra Kaw, I think is her last name, which I read a book. I read another one of her books for our readathon when I was in New York.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of what it was called right now. It was Nothing But Blackened Teeth. I read it
Yes.
on the plane. Great plane book.
Can I see the cover of this one?
Oh yeah, this one's really cool.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah. And it's a little book, but it's still a hardcover, which I think is kind of cool.
And I think that's very fun. Also I think I can picture Nothing But Blackened Teeth in my head, but I want to look it up.
It's got like a lady with the red lipstick.
Yes, it was like the cafe book
Cafe
for a minute.
pick.
Yeah.
I love the cafe $5 picks.
I know, they kind of paw pussy.
Last month it was What Moves the Dead.
No shit.
Yeah, which I was like, that's kind of silly.
That's really cool. Is that out in paperback? It just
Three
came out.
years later, like,
Yeah.
come on.
I read Medusa by Jesse Burton, which I didn't realize until I was listening to an interview with her on a podcast that this is actually a young adult book.
Oh.
And it at times kind of felt like a young adult book, but it actually very much did not at the same time. And she said something that I liked, that she was like, she's never really thinking about who the audience is when she writes her books. She just writes it. And then figures out where it needs to be published later. And I was like, that's a cool way to do it.
I was like, that name sounds kind of familiar, but I didn't know why. It's because they wrote The Miniaturist, which I
Yes.
didn't read, but I know the cover.
Yes. And I didn't read it either, but I also hadn't realized that that was her. And that was a pretty popular book for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
And
So,
I think
like, we.
they made a TV show of it too that was like, I think like Anya Taylor-Joy was in it or something. So that's kind of fun. She's cool. I liked the book. When was your book written?
Ooh, that's a good question. A year ago, I think. Let me see. Listen to the sounds of me flipping. Yeah, 2023.
Okay, and mine is 2021. So I was just asking to figure out who should go first. That answers the damn question.
It really does.
Without further ado, I'll go first. So mine was a Medusa retelling, and I really love the myth of Medusa. And so I really wanted to see something that kind of did it justice, and I think that this did. I haven't read it yet, but do you know there's also a Medusa retelling? I think it might even be by Madeline Miller called Stoneblind. You know what? I don't actually know if it's Madeline Miller, but it's by somebody who also did other retellings. Natalie Haynes, who I think did I think she did one of the other, she did A Thousand Ships.
I definitely recognize the cover.
Yeah, she did A Thousand Ships, and then Stoneblind came out la 2 years ago. But I do think Madeline Miller is working on a Medusa retelling. So Medusa's kind of going to have a moment. It's interesting to think about what different people will do with the myth, because I feel like there is like almost a lot more you can do with it than some others. But that's a conversation for a different time. Let me pull up my shit. Hello. Okay, there we go. I'm struggling. FYI. Okay, yeah. But I'll just so this book, it takes place on an island 4 years after Medusa has been turned into what we like recognize her as in the myth, with like the snakes for her hair. I don't know if this is actually part of the original myth, but I didn't know that she is not technically a Gorgon. She was just changed from being like a human into whatever she is with her snakes by Athena. But her sisters are actually like the immortal beings that are like the monsters, or like Gorgons rather. And I didn't know that. So anyway, there you go for that. And so they live on like this island, which they basically like kind of fled to after Medusa's been changed into a snake monster, because like the people of the town have kind of turned on them. Also, Marissa, so Perseus is obviously in this too. For the plot of the book, Perseus shows up at the island. And him and Medusa start like talking to each other, but she's obviously like hiding behind a wall because she can't look at him. She doesn't quite know what would happen if she looked at him, but she knows that she can't let him see her. Anyway, I didn't know that Danae was Perseus's mother. That's so cool.
I had a teacher who was like, "You have to name your son Perseus." I was
And you're
like,
like,
"I'm not gonna do that," but I
no.
liked the thought.
Also, Danae deserves her own book, because she's
Yes,
actually
she
really
does.
cool.
She is.
Her like mythology is really interesting, and like this author drew parallels between do you see Stella jump up? Drew a lot of parallels between Medusa and Danae, which I thought was really cool, because like Danae is also like sort of a victim of male violence in more ways than one. But yeah, also don't name your kid Perseus, because he kind of sucks.
Noted.
Famously. But anyway, so with that in mind for the plot, I gave this book an 8 on readability. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it was apparently a YA book. And I think it could go either way. I think you could give it to like 14, 15, 16-year-old, but I also think it could just be a regular, just sort of mythology retelling. It's super short. You could read it all in one sitting, honestly. I think I read it in like 3 sittings. For language and style, I also gave it an 8. I thought it was really gorgeous language. And I think sometimes too, like when you market something as YA, you're worried that the language is going to be kind of like dumbed down for kids, which doesn't need to happen, because kids can like understand a lot more than you think that they can. But that's just sort of like the nature of YA, is that the language is going to be dumbed down, and it definitely wasn't for this. The interview that I listened to with her was really cool, because she talked about how she almost kind of was mimicking the style of an epic poem or like a myth. And so it had this sort of like sing-songy vibe to it that I actually think worked really well. And I might actually read a few passages from it for TikToks, because I thought that could be kind of fun. But yeah, really gorgeous language. For form, I gave it a 6. There wasn't anything super crazy going on with the form. Like we said, both of our books were novellas, so it was quite short. I don't think these mythology-based retellings need to be as long as they sometimes are. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like a lot of the mythology retellings are like huge bricks of a book. And like, I think sort of the nice thing about myths was that they were short and they were spoken, and like that's how we still know about all of them today. So it feels like sort of like a odd choice to make all these retellings like so thick. I guess the idea would be that you can like expand on the people's stories better with more words, but I think what Burton did was really clever because she took just a few days of Medusa's life instead of telling her entire story, which I had read another mythological retelling by Jennifer Saint, who actually did a blurb for this by Ariad about Ariadne, and it was like so long. Like I was like, this is too much. Like I don't need to know about this person's entire life. Like I think it's a lot cooler when you pick one detail from the myth and expand on it that way instead of saying, I'm going to expand on everything I could possibly research about this mythological figure. So that's another interesting thing, I guess, to kind of talk about when we're talking about retellings of myths. For shelf worthiness, I give this a 7. I would definitely look at it again, mostly for the language, her writing style. But I also just think it's a good story, and I know a lot of people are super into the Greek myth retellings, and this would be one that I feel like you would like almost need to add to the collection if you're one of those people that likes like what is like Circe and what's the other Mad Song of Achilles and like all those are super big thing right now. For plot, I gave it an 8. Like I said, it's it sort of begins with Perseus arriving on the island and her sort of taking an interest in him and them having this conversation all the time, not seeing each other, not looking at each other. And they sort of like open up to each other, and she ends up telling her entire story, and he ends up telling his entire story, just through conversation. But there's like really, and this will tie me into characterization, which I also gave an 8. But there were some really like vulnerable moments for both characters, but particularly for the Medusa character. And I don't know why this myth actually like isn't used more, especially to talk about like the idea of like victim blaming, because like I think people know, like think of like Percy Jackson, like anybody else that tries to like use the image of Medusa just completely erases what actually happens to her in the myth, which is that she's assaulted in the Temple of Athena and that Athena like blames her for it instead of blaming Poseidon. And so she gives Medusa these snakes. And I think there is one way to read it where you could almost think of it as like in some twisted way, Athena thought she was doing her a favor because like the thing she says to her is that like, woe come to any man that looks upon you, which is like almost like it's like a revenge that if a man looks at her now, they'll be turned to stone. Whereas before, all the men were like goggling at her and then obviously taking advantage of her. But like, I don't like that. I don't particularly like that reading of it. And like, I honestly never really liked Athena because of the Medusa myth. I was like, she's not very slay. Like, she isn't there to support another woman and in fact blames the woman for what happens to her. And I think this book did a really good job handling that and also handling like how Medusa sort of goes on after this assault. And also, I didn't know in the mythology, she's 14 years old when the assault happens, which is so sad. And this book takes place when she's 18, and it's sort of taken her 4 years now. It's not until the end of the book that she really sort of like comes to terms with everything that's happened. And it's like still clear that it's something she's going to be dealing with the rest of her life, but it's not something that defines her. And I don't know, it just kind of expands the whole story with Poseidon a bit more too, and how he like was just this really awful, sort of sinister character. And also this idea of like girls being blamed for being pretty. Like it was always part of the mythology that, like, oh, Medusa was just so pretty. Like everybody was obsessed with her. Like, no wonder Poseidon like wanted her. And then she's turned into this ugly monster, almost as like a thing of like, oh, that's what you get for being beautiful. And so it like plays into that a lot as well. And I don't know, it was just a really clever, like really humanizing look at Medusa. And I really appreciated it and everything that it did. So I was happy to have stumbled upon this book. It was just something that I kind of saw in a bookstore and was like, that looks cool. And I thought maybe I could use it for the class, one of the classes I'm in right now, which is about goddesses in ancient history. Didn't end up using it for that, but I'm glad I read it nonetheless.
So, also, I've been watching a lot of Love is Blind lately. You can really tell who's a girl's girl.
Yeah.
Like, it's obvious. It's
And I
really
hate when
obvious.
somebody's not a girl's girl.
Right, like, I don't have time for you.
No. Period poop.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that. Anyways, so I read The Salt Grows Heavy, which is a Little Mermaid retelling, or like I guess like a Little Mermaid after telling, because it's like after she was married to the king, Prince Eric, I guess, but it doesn't name him in the thing either way. And like, this is a horror book, so obviously in this, like, mermaids are not, you know, pretty girls with tails. And so this is like after she gets married, and also after she and her children, her daughters, have devoured the entire kingdom. And she's walking along with a plague doctor who is actually really slay, because they go by they them. And spoiler, you like kind of find out that they are a collection of a bunch of parts, like other people's parts, which is kind of cool. But so like I said, this is like a short novella, and I'll say that, like, I didn't realize that we were getting into the plot when we got into the plot. Like, I thought that this was going to be more of like an Odyssey kind of book. And instead it was more like the first destination is the story, which like did definitely take me off guard. I thought there was going to be more going on, but that's okay. So readability and interest, I gave this like an 8. It's short, it's easy to go through. It's pretty good. I just couldn't focus for whatever reason. That's me problem. It's not a book problem, but I think an 8 is a solid place to go. There's a lot of breaks in it, but not like it's split into parts, but also, you know, there's like a lot of page breaks in it, which are kind of nice. For language and style, I'm actually gonna rate this like a 9, because her descriptions of things, it was just like fantastic, like super gory and weird. I think sometimes it didn't like it wasn't concrete enough, but for the most part, I think that it was great, and it really was like vague in a cool way instead of vague in like a confusing way. And like her, right, I like this book much better, a lot better than I liked Nothing But Black and Teeth. It's kind of beautiful, in a lot of ways. Even like they're walking through like a snowy forest, and even that's quite beautiful. Even like the description of like the stitches on the plague doctor's body are like quite beautiful. We're gonna skip form. For shelf worthy and read again, I'm gonna give this like an 8. I think that if you like horror, or even if you like a good retelling, because it's not like necessarily scary, it's just kind of gory. I think that this would be a great book to have on your shelf, and it's a quick read. I always like to fill my shelf with like quick reads, anything that I can read like that, like a two sitting read, a one sitting read. I want that on my shelf, so I would recommend it to people. Would I read it again? Maybe like much further down the line. It would be cool if she made more to their story. Liza's computer froze and she disappeared, but I'm just gonna keep talking. For plot, I'm gonna give it a 7 only because I didn't realize where, like I said in the beginning, I didn't realize that that was gonna be the full story, kind of. And I don't really know why that took me off guard, but it just did. For characterization, I gave it like a 6. I think the plague doctor is really interesting. The mermaid is like fine. But like, I don't know, just fine. I don't really think that you're supposed to like the mermaid, to be honest. And there was really no one else in the book.
Sorry, I had to go on my phone because my computer just completely froze.
It pooped.
Yep.
I was looking for a part to read. I'm just going to read this from the first page. Ash leaks from the firmament in soft handfuls of black, gathering in gauzy drifts around my ankles. The sky is ink and seething murk, whispering secrets to itself. The clouds snarled like long, dark hair. I glance into the house. Two of my daughters look back, eyes shining. They are seated astride a twitching form, its limbs too small to have belonged to an adult. Like cats, they croon to one another, even as they nibble their fins and fingertips clean. My breath snags, only days old, but already they are the best of their parents. They have their father's full lips, his blue eyes, his supple, sun-warmed skin. And they have my teeth, my deep water hair, like the lures of the anglerfish spun into thick coils. Nothing sticks to those radiant strands. No amount of gore or mud, which is fortunate given how messily my offspring eat. Kind of pretty. It's like kind of a little bit beautiful. I don't know how she does that, but she does it so well. So yeah, that was the Salt Gross Heavy. And it's definitely, I think it's definitely worth checking out. It's, I like the, I don't know, after. I like a good after tale, you know? Like,
why did you like it better than the other one? Like, I know you talked a little bit about that, but I'm just like curious, like, do you think her strong suit is perhaps with like this more sort of retelling or fantasy style or what?
Yeah, I just think with the other one, it just felt rushed and it felt like, I don't know, maybe I think she was focused a little bit too much on like the relationship dynamics in the other one. And with this one, she had two characters, two main characters who kept it real simple. And I think just this, I think she does much better making her own world than having to like follow the rules of like the actual world, if that makes sense.
Sure. Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's late.
This is unrelated, but it kind of reminded me of it when you were talking about like how like the language is like kind of beautiful but also like really kind of gross. Is I finally read Mexican Gothic, and I had to read it for class, and it's so cool. It's like way, and I was having this conversation with my friend Nick, and then I was like, girl, you're stupid. Because I was like, I had no idea this book was would be that gross. And Nick was like, well, what did you think? It's called Mexican Gothic. And I said, Gothic doesn't mean gross and scary. Gothic means dark and like mysterious. And then so I brought that up in class and I was like, am I just stupid or did I not know what Gothic meant? Because this is a Gothic class, by the way. And my teacher was like, no, like you're right. Like it you don't think of insane body horror as being in Gothic fiction. And I was like, okay, period. Good to know I'm right about that. But the like gross horror descriptions in the book are really good. Like I think you would like them a lot.
I've been dying to read that book. I should really just buy it and read it.
You should just read it. Like, again, it's like not going to be like my favorite book of the year or anything like that, which I think is how you phrased it when you were talking about this book. But it was like cool to read nonetheless.
Yeah, when I think of Gothic, I think something about like I always think of a castle. I always think of like almost like the vampire aesthetic, which is so
Yes.
clean.
Yes. Yeah, Gothic is not, and never have I been reading Gothic and been like scared. Like
No.
you're supposed to be like disturbed perhaps while reading Gothic, but it's not terror. Whereas when you're reading horror, you're like ter you should be terrified. Whereas you should just kind of feel like yikes while you're reading Gothic.
Yeah. You should feel like unsettled.
Yes, exactly.
And even like if you think about Frankenstein, it's like Frankenstein is like if you actually think about it, like the act of like building a human being, that has to be gory.
Yeah.
That has to be
Yeah.
gory and it has to be gross. And so, but you never, you don't think of it like that when you're thinking of it.
Especially because she didn't actually describe it that crazy,
Right.
Mary. And this conversation might go even further because we might just have a Gothic episode in a few weeks.
You never know.
You never know when the Gothic is going to be Gothic game. What are we doing next week?
I don't remember. Oh, next week we're doing our true crime episode that we had to skip before.
Finally, we've been sitting on this. Are you doing the same book you were going to do last time?
Yeah.
And what is that?
It is Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil by John. Oh God, what's his last name? Let me find out. Hold on. Give me a second. His name's John Berendt. Berendt. Berendt.
Brent Slade. And I'm doing The Burning of Bridget Cleary by Angela Bourke. I'm trying it again.
Slay.
We'll see how it works out this time. But that's the damn tea.
That is the damn tea. Look at us go.
Season 6 goes nuts.
We got lots of fun things planned.
Lots of fun things. Like, so much. It's actually kind of insane.
Kind of proud of us.
Me too. So we'll see you guys then.
Bye.
Hehe.
Do I stop? Well.